May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Think for a moment and be honest. Do you ever get angry? Because today is one of those days that's more challenging to preach on. Let's face it, the prophetic Jesus, the angry Jesus, is always far more of a challenge than the pastoral Jesus. The pastoral Jesus, the one we have seen portrayed in pictures since we were tiny. There's an activity that's intriguing to do. You show people a wide variety of pictures of Jesus and you see which one they pick. What people choose, what people identify with as Jesus varies greatly. It can be age specific, gender specific, geographic location specific. The fact that there are so many variations tells us a lot. But by and large, the pictures and the choices in the Western world tend to be of a benevolent Jesus. For many, therefore, it comes as a bit of a shock to think that Jesus could have a flaming temper, overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple. However you read the gospel for today, Jesus is completely enraged. He's not just upset. Jesus often warned against the sin of anger, but here he is in Jerusalem, the proud centre of Jewish national life, and he found the one place where non-Jews can pray, packed out with animal sellers and money changers. Now the temple had a hierarchy of courts. In the centre was the holiest of holies, where only the high priest could go. Around that was the sanctuary, where all the other priests were. Then there was the court of the Jews, then the court of the women, then the court of the Gentiles. What Jesus sees is in direct contravention of Genesis 18:18, with Abraham being a blessing to all nations, not just some of them. But was Jesus just annoyed about a lack of worship space? To me, that's too simplistic. It's part of it, but it's not the full thrust. Think about it. The objects of his fury were providing a useful role. Most people at the time saw God as a sort of rich landowner who you kept happy with presents. But you couldn't bring your own animals, as they weren't good enough. They had to be without blemish, which were unsurprisingly only available in the temple. These were only available in the temple, and as such, notional evidence suggests that they were 15 times the cost of outside. There's no price matching, no knowingly undersold, because it's a monopoly. On top of that, you can't use your own money you have outside the temple. It needs to be changed into shekels for a fee. If this took place today, the financial ombudsman would have a field day. And what we need to understand is that this was big business, and I mean big business. About 2.25 million pilgrims came to Jerusalem at Passover. Each had to pay a half shekel temple tax. In today's money, that's about £200. Then there's the exchange rate. Then you have to convert any money back to denarii for a fee when you leave. And we know when we go on holiday abroad, if you remember that, and change money back, that we're not going to get the full value back. Think of it this way. Imagine having to pay £200 each time you wanted to come to church. The money changers are making tens of thousands of pounds profit a year for providing what has become essential financial services. No wonder Jesus is angry. But let's not jump straight now to a criticism of bashing bankers and simply using this passage to criticise them. It's far too simple. We all rely on banking, but the decisions we make, we need to make certain that they are based on kingdom values. If they don't satisfy love, compassion, justice and freedom, then we should walk away. Indeed, as the Church of England did from its own investment in the payday lender Wonga. That's not me speaking. That's not media prejudice, but is a gospel imperative. The gospel always holds up a mirror to the power structures of any days. It is radical, it is challenging, but it is the way of truth. Unfortunately, in too many ways, this has been diluted over recent years. It's something we need to regain, and especially during Lent. We just need to keep true to the strength of our convictions, knowing that Jesus walks with us. To go back to the pictures of Jesus, just to be complete, and to help with our reflection. When showing the pictures was tried in South America, people always identify with Jesus fighting for the poor, what is generally called liberation theology. This response is not about a domesticated Jesus. This is the Jesus that led Archbishop Oscar Romero from El Salvador to speak out against the power structures. And as we know, he was killed for that. He preached that the most profound social revolution is the serious, supernatural, interior reform of a Christian. This is what Jesus is asking of us when he turns over the tables of the money changers. But more so, he is asking us to live this every day as the core of our beings. Amen.